Hi, everyone. Hello, good evening. You guys had a good holiday break? Great. Are you happy to be back in class? All right, I'm happy to be here with you as well. So, tonight's class is about relationships. Yes. Always a fun one. How many people here are in a committed relationship? Raise your hand. Let me see. Five. In a committed relationship. She's raising it. You should raise it too. She's like, I don't know about you, but I'm in it. So raise it again. I didn't see. Raise it again. Okay. All right. So like half the class. Great. How's it going? Going well? All right. How many people have been divorced? Raise your hand. Been divorced. All right. Okay. Great. All right. So I want to know what you know. So before we start to learn the Kabbalistic understanding of relationships, how to make a relationship functional, how to make love last, the role of male and female energies, I want to hear from you guys. So in your groups, each person share, what do you think is the secret formula? What do you feel? What are some of the things that people do that are the most common mistakes that make relationships fail? And what do you feel someone would need to do to make it work? What have you figured out about relationships and life through your personal experience, through maybe watching your parents, through watching relationships that work and relationships that don't? Does that make sense? All right. I want to see what you guys come up with. We'll talk about it, and then we'll share the Kabbalistic point of view, okay? So I'll give you a couple minutes. Go for it. All right, everyone. All right. So, I would love to hear from you guys. What are some secrets? Who's figured it out? Who's figured out the relationships? I love this. You guys have figured it out. That's it. All right. I love it. Give us some secrets. Give me the microphone. I want a microphone. All right. Let's get some secrets. If you figured it out, I'm going to sit in these chairs and you're going to come up here. Go for it.
Hi, my name is Sepide, and I think one of the reasons a relationship won't work is lack of respect.
Not to respect each other, right?
Yes.
And so you've both been in relationships that have not worked, right?
Yes.
Okay.
One is respect. Another thing is honesty. Being honest to someone, even if it hurts the person, we should be honest.
So why couldn't you be honest in your last marriage?
I was.
You were. He wasn't.
It's a two-way street. Oh,
okay, so he wasn't honest.
It's a two-way street. And
why do you think it was difficult for him to be honest with you?
My relationship was because most of it was because of lack of communication. We didn't communicate with each other.
What do you think you did wrong?
I did wrong because when something went wrong, we both kept to ourselves. We didn't speak up.
You didn't talk
and I
about
think
it.
Lack of communication is one of the biggest mistakes. Nader and I have really, really, thank God, we talk. Whatever bothers me right away, I come and tell him. And this opens up a lot of doors. And it won't let us get very upset, you know.
We resolve
things. Honesty, respect is very important.
What do you mean by respect?
Respect means to... If you love somebody, you have to give them a lot of, to be open. What you like, you want more for the other person.
Okay, but now that, you know, he works hard, he's very successful,
yes.
So it's easy to respect him. What if he came home and said, you know what, I don't want to work anymore. I don't want to make any more money. I just want to sit here. I want you to make all the money.
No.
What would you say? Would you say, no, I'm going to still respect you?
I would say, let's go for vacation now. We both make money and now let's go on vacation.
Okay.
For example, he he wants to go to a restaurant and I want to go to somewhere else.
Okay.
Two different opinion. Once we go where I want to go and once we go where he wants to go. So we kind of, it's open relationship.
Okay.
And open, you know.
It's honest. Not an open relationship.
No,
that means
open.
Something else.
No, I know.
Yeah.
I mean, open.
That's why it works so well.
Open communication.
Open communication.
The relationship that yes. needs to be.
Yes. Okay. Well, very honest. Good. All right. I like that. Who's got more secrets for us? Absolutely. Communication is key and we'll talk about it. Who else has got the answers? Yes. What have you come up with?
Hi, my name's Sylvie. I don't want to say I have it all figured out because that's...
You're in a relationship?
Yes, I'm in a relationship.
How long?
I've also been divorced for a year and a half.
Year and a half. Are you married now?
No.
Okay, but you were married before.
I was married for 24 years.
24 years?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Everyone's asking the same question, right? Just settle down, everybody. Settle down. Go for it.
Okay. So what I would say is it's really important to not expect the other person to change anything. And you can express how whatever it is that's bothering you makes you feel, but be responsible that that's your feelings. And if you don't like something about someone, then you have to decide if you want to be in the relationship or you don't.
How did you learn that in your last relationship?
In the marriage?
Yeah.
Well, there are a lot of things that I always wanted to change, and it was...
From the beginning, you wanted to change about him?
Not really from the beginning. I mean, there were things that really, it's not like crazy stuff. Like, you know. I don't want to overshare, but...
Yeah, sure.
You know, things that you wouldn't accept in a relationship.
Got it. But at what point did you realize you can't change him?
Well, I guess 24 years. I don't know.
After 24 years. It yeah. took 24 years. So that it hits you that's the smart way of looking at it.
Yeah, I guess so. And in my relationship now, too, it's like little things that bother me. It's like, why am I trying to make the person suit me? It's my thing I need to overcome.
Beautiful. Yeah. By the way, that is one of the most common things I hear from people who have been in mature amount of years of relationships. So especially if they've been in a marriage and now they're in a new one. Right, and one of the things that makes them successful is that they respect each other's space, and they're not trying to control each other. In the very beginning, people try to control each other a lot, which becomes one of the main reasons of strife and difficulty and challenges. So, thank you very much, Akshay. Thank you very much. All right, anybody else got some nice opinions, some things to share? Oh, please, right here. Okay.
Thank you. My name is Bob. We've been married for 33 years. So at the end of the day, there's so many things that goes into a relationship. Seema and myself, we've been married during that time, and we've been working together every day.
You guys work together? You have your business together?
We have our business together. It's actually kind of a joke around Calabasas. When we walk around, if one of us is not with the other one, where's your husband? Where's your wife? Why are you separated today? So that's a separate story. The moral of the story is there's so many things in marriage. I think one thing is that I like is being able to walk away from a situation, say, okay, I get it. I respect it. That's okay. And not dig in deep and put my foot down and say it has to be my way or highway. So that is the most important thing in a relationship, being able to walk away from a situation and not prove a point necessarily that
you... How are you able to do that? How are you able to put your pride aside and humble yourself and be okay and not be controlling or enraged or whatever? How do you... Where do you get the strength?
You find it. I mean, what is alternative? You have a fight and you go to bed. You go to bed mad.
Well, you know what some people do is they go and find it. That's the problem. So they say, you know what, my wife doesn't respect me. My husband doesn't respect me. Instead of trying to figure it out, I'm going to look for an alternative source of respect. So maybe when he goes to the office and there's another partner at the office that gives him a lot of respect, he gets his energy that way. So it's actually very calm at home now because he doesn't need her energy, right? So the question is, where do we get our energy? So I'm asking you, how do you find your strength?
From her. The fact that she respects me, the fact that she trusts me, the fact that I know she's there for me, the fact that she listens to me.
By the way, you heard what he said?
The fact that she puts up with me.
Okay, very good. And we're going to hopefully learn today, if not today, next time, but the number one thing a male energy needs, notice I didn't say a man, male energy, because there's male and female energies, and sometimes male energies enter female bodies, sometimes female energies enter male bodies, and they can be mixed. The male energy needs trust and support and respect. Trust, support, and respect. You give the male energy that, it can be his best. It can shine. The female energy needs to be cherished, to be number one, to be number one. Number one, that's it. It's just to be number one. In fact, when she feels number one, she gets all her strength from feeling number one. As soon as she feels number two, even if you give her everything, as soon as she feels number two, she feels unstable. And we're going to learn that the female is the vessel that receives the light. The male energy is the one that channels energy. And together, it creates a perfect combination. So even if it's two men living together or two women living together, there's always going to be some balance of these two energies that make it work. There's a giving force and there's a receiving force, a plus and a minus, that live in harmony. So the female that is the receiver, her most important job is to build a strong vessel that can receive this light. Build a strong vessel. It's her job to work on her self-esteem. That's what builds the vessel. It's her job to find the light inside of her, so that she feels she's whole and not empty. That's her job. The male energy that's with her, he has to be careful not to do what? To destroy her vessel. Because a lot of times what the male energy does is when he doesn't like something, he destroys. What are some ways that the male energy destroys? What? Okay, so jealousy. What else? Jealousy is actually not as bad. Kabbalists have to say jealousy is actually a good thing. But it's how you react to your jealousy that becomes bad. What is it? To become possessive, to become controlling, to make comments, to be critical. The worst thing the male energy can do is to criticize or to make opinions or to say even truthful things. Because how does the male energy grow? Through hearing feedback and criticism. Actually, the male energy likes it because the male energy wants to channel energy. So I'm gonna say man, okay? Instead of saying male energy every time. The man needs to channel energy, so he likes the positive growth and feedback and criticism for the most part. The female, because it's the vessel, one criticism cracks it. Because we know that the female is constantly criticizing herself. Is it true? Constantly looking and criticizing herself. Constantly looking within and what could be better, what could be this. The male, because it's channeling energy, it's more freedom. It's more okay with stuff. It's more goes with the flow. It's like the man can just brush it off easier than the female energy can. Now again, we're not making stereotypes. We're understanding how energies work. And each one of us have different mixtures of male and female energy. Some people have equal amounts of both. Some people have more of one, more of the other. Only you'll know which one you are. Okay, so just to start off, understanding our roles as male and female energies. The man requires support, trust, and acknowledgement, respect. For example, if you tell, the man needs to feel confident in the way that he reveals light in the world. Okay, so what's the worst thing you can do to a man? Huh? Disrespect what? Give me some specifics. Put what down? Put maybe what they do for a living down. Put what they do for a living down. What's another thing that will really destroy a man? Tell him he's bad in bed, right? Wouldn't it? Wouldn't it destroy a man? I've never seen a man brush that one off. Yeah, she told me I'm not good. Whatever, I'm okay with it. Never heard that before. Never heard it. It destroys the more, because sex is a way that men channel energy. So also, when the sexual chemistry between him and his partner is not strong, by nature, he desires to share energy. So he wants to go spread his light. And that's what causes problems. So if the man doesn't have spiritual boundaries or doesn't understand the spiritual laws, which is, if it's not working here, it's a message, I need to change something about myself. I need to grow to be with the light of the Creator. If he doesn't understand that, what will he do by nature? He will look for someone who will receive his light. And he will go outside. And his desire will attract a seductress or somebody to come take it from him. Does that make sense? It's not that all of a sudden the man meets somebody and has an affair. That's not how it works. It starts with his own frustration to not be able to share his light, which then creates an internal desire to attract someone who will receive that light. His desire then attracts the mistress. So it's very dangerous for the man to not know his power and his role spiritually. His job is to be a channel of the light of the Creator in every way. Man's job is to ABG. Can you say that? ABG? ABG. ABG, don't forget ABG. What is ABG? ABG is always be giving. This is the man's role. Always be giving. Someone insulted him? Always be giving. Someone hurt his honor, his pride? Always be giving. When a man starts to complain, is he giving? No, never allowed to complain. He's not allowed to complain. Now again, we're making generalizations. But if you want to know the specific ways to achieve the best version of yourself, so this is our checklist. Always be giving, not complaining, looking for ways to create win-win, looking for ways to build and not destroy. When a man starts to feel lack, that's when there's a danger of him no longer acting like the light. Right? A man needs to ask himself. He walks up into a party. Let's say he's in a committed relationship and he's at an event, a social function, a business function, whatever. And he meets a partner, man or woman, whatever he's attracted to. And his consciousness is, ooh, ooh, ooh. Energy. He sees energy. He feels lack. He sees energy. What is this first thing that he's going to want to do? To flirt. Why is he flirting? Is he ABG? Or is he now acting, huh? To get energy. That's why he wants to do that. He wants to, all of a sudden, he's changing his role. He's saying, forget about my purpose in this world. I now want to receive energy. So he goes into the receiving mode. And as a result, he loses his light, he loses his energy, and that's when chaos begins. In fact, if a man could always be ABG, always ABG, he would have miracles constantly. Constantly. Forget about logic. Forget about right and wrong and fair. All of that needs to go out the window for a man. A man needs to be like the sun that shines. The sun is shining. It's shining through this window. So what if the female energy says, you know what? I don't like you. I'm going to pull the shade down. Have you ever seen the sun take it personally that you put your shade down? What does the sun do when you put your shade down? Continues to shine. So what does a man do when his wife or his partner starts to criticize him? He has a choice. To be the light, to play his role, or to completely go opposite his role. Listen to his satan and disconnect. So what does that look like? What does it look like for a man to play his role after he's been criticized? You are always into yourself and I don't respect you. Okay? What are you going to do? Pause, right? Always with the pause. All right, this is good. What's happening here? I have a choice. Am I going to ABG? What does ABG look like right here? How can a man be ABG in this scenario? Man, have you ever been in this scenario? Raise your hand if you've ever been in this scenario. It's impossible if you haven't. Impossible. There's no way. Have you been in this scenario? You've never been criticized? Of course. So what are you saying you haven't been in this scenario? You've been criticized. When were you criticized last? Let's get the mic over here. I haven't seen you in so long. I want to catch up. Yes. When was the last time you were criticized by... You don't even know this guy. Yourself.
My name is Omri.
All right. So when was the last time you were criticized? By a partner, a romantic partner?
It's been a little while.
It's been a while since you've been in a relationship?
Yeah.
Why?
Because I've been on an intense spiritual journey for the last couple of years.
So you've avoided romance?
Yeah, I think the last partner I was with, my last girlfriend, we broke up because of the spiritual path that I was on. So I think it's probably related to that.
Why? What did she didn't like about your spiritual path?
It just didn't really fit with what she was wanting to do in her life.
Okay. And you were ABG?
At the time, probably not.
But you were on a spiritual path.
I know.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
Can you be on a spiritual path but not be ABG?
No, you're being spiritual.
Can you be on a spiritual path but be a taker? Yeah. Sure, sure. What if I told my wife, honey, I'm not coming home at all this whole week. I'm just going to teach classes and help people in the world. She's going to be like, wow, that's so amazing. Is that marriage going to work? Is that relationship going to work? Because I'm not giving, but I'm giving to you. What's the big deal? So now we learn, you're not off the hook yet. We'll get back to you in a moment. We learn that if a person is not making his or her relationship work, everything else in his life loses the light of the Creator. Okay? Number one concept we're learning about relationships. Who your partner is becomes the nuclear reactor. That relationship becomes the nuclear reactor of energy for everything else in your life. So much so that the Zohar, the great books of Kabbalah, these holy, amazing books that have all the secrets to life, one of the things the Zohar shares is that a person cannot achieve his or her spiritual purpose, which is to become like the light of the Creator, without a committed relationship. There is no way you can achieve everything you were meant to achieve personally, meaning to fulfill your tikkun, finish your tikkun, and bring the most light to the world by yourself. Even though the opponent will tell you, you can do it by yourself. It's going to feel easy by yourself. It's going to feel like, why do I need the burden? Other people just weigh me down. Other people just challenge me. They make me frustrated. When I'm by myself, I'm super sharp. I'm working hard. I'm more efficient. Things go faster. Look at this amazing business I create. Look at this. Look at that. In the upper worlds, if you left, they would look at you and say, we don't care that you were a billionaire and you shared all your money and you did everything. You avoided your tikkun by being in a relationship. You can only see who you truly are, the depths of your tikkun, when you have someone else you're committed to. Only way, according to the Kabbalists. Yes?
Is that equally true for men and women, or is it more true for men?
Oh, I just have to be careful how I answer this. So some of the writings will say that in this time, a man... the male energy comes with a larger correction. However, the female energy also comes with a correction. But all right, I'm not going to get into the whole history of it. Let's just put it this way. Yes, both require a mirror, a partner, a committed other half to reveal their essence and to reveal their soul. Yes, but there is a backstory to it that maybe we'll share another time. Good question. All right, so what did we just say? What's the last thing we just said? We need a committed partnership. Okay, let's see here. Where is my... It's behind the Zohar. Secret. All right, so let's go through. That's number one. Let's go through the rest. Purpose of a relationship. Why? Why do I need to be with someone? Why can't I just cruise by myself and be effective in life? Because a relationship will extract and build your positive qualities. When you are with somebody else, it forces you to learn about yourself. You will see your flaws. You will see where you are selfish. Especially when you have a child. I hear it from parents all the time. When you have a child, you see actually who you really are. You see, wow, I am not as much of a giver as I thought I was. Because you have to take care of someone else. It's easier to see it with a child because you're forced to take care of him or her. Otherwise, who's going to do it? In a relationship, it's more tricky. You only realize it over time that if you're not a giver, you're not going to make the relationship work. A relationship will reveal and help you transform your negative qualities. So why is this important? And I always want to remind us why we're even studying Kabbalah. The greatest pleasure you can experience in life is the complete transformation of your tikkun. Once we achieve that, it says we tap into the endless light and we have complete control over this world. You reach a place where miracles happen all the time. Miracles rain upon you. You get green lights all the time. You feel pleasure. You feel connected. You feel synchronicity. You feel whatever you feel when you're taking drugs once in a while or during an orgasm or during any other pleasurable moment you can think of. Those pleasures all come together and become consistent when you have uprooted all the qualities that disconnect you from the light of the Creator. That's our prize. That's our goal. We're not here just to become spiritual people. We're here because we want the great energy, the endless pleasure, the endless light. And when a person masters his or her fears, negativity, selfish desires, anger, jealousy, pride, judgment, control issues, neediness issues, fear of being alone issues, you get to experience that sublime pleasure and that sublime energy. Something much greater than what most people settle for in life, which is, you know, nice pleasures here and there, nice experiences. We're talking about something huge. We weren't created just to live a life that's got some suffering and some pleasures, and I guess that's it. We were created for something really big. So this big prize exists. The best ticket to this big prize is your relationship. Think of the last relationship you had. Think of one that you had that didn't work in your past. Why did the Creator send you that person? Random? To hurt you? To suffer? Yes, you think yes. But the Creator knew that that person is perfect for you to see where you're weak. Yeah, but I got hurt. Exactly. You can only get hurt in the area that you're weak. Because when you're strong, people can say this. People can say, but you already feel the light inside you. It doesn't matter. But when you have a tikkun, you take things personally in that area. Any area that you feel hurt is the area of tikkun. So what? I should just be abused? No, we didn't say that. But what we did say is you're not going to get out of this hamster wheel until you look inside yourself. So as hard as it is, especially it gets hard in marriage. This is why, I mean, I've probably had one-on-one coaching, over 10,000 hours of one-on-one coaching with couples and single people. And everyone agrees on one thing, marriage or a committed relationship, when you start living with the other person, when you commit yourself to another person, it becomes very difficult. It's not as fun as when you were dating. Remember when you were dating? Remember? You spent the whole day just getting ready for it. Your hair, your nails, your this, the gym, the wax, the whatever. You got all ready. You felt all good. You didn't have to see them until they picked you up and you went to a nice restaurant and it was amazing for 1 hour, 2 hours, wine, drinks, feel high, the buzz, wow, 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 great night. And then you don't have to see them anymore. You have a whole week to like recuperate and figure out what you want to do and to miss them to like them again. And then what happens is then that's not tikkun. You don't see your tikkun there yet. Some people do. Some people still see how they're afraid and they get needy and they get reactive. But when you start to live with someone and commit yourself to someone, that bond, that contract starts the game of transformation. So actually all the forces in the world push you towards becoming like God. So the number one purpose becomes alive. The purpose of becoming like God becomes alive as soon as you commit yourself to someone. How do we know? Because the lust leaves. Haven't you noticed that? When you're in a committed relationship, especially marriage, notice how the lust leaves. Because what was Satan trying to do when you were dating? Satan wanted you to be reactive sexually with this person. Satan wanted you to just, you know, go for the selfish taking of energy sexually. After you've committed yourself to a person, Satan actually doesn't make you try to have romantic love and sex all the time. What does Satan do? Satan actually wants couples to avoid it after they're committed to each other. You'd be surprised, right? Some of the single people are looking at me like, marriages, so many marriages that I've met, it can be in the first year, the second year, the fifth year, the 10th year, the 20th year, the attraction is not there the way it was when it was more forbidden. Because Satan plays a different role. Satan actually, when you get together, wants to make sure that you always stay apart. And when you're apart, he always makes you reactively get together. So once the commitment happens, a new purpose takes place, which is, I have the opportunity to unify myself with this person, to take full responsibility to become like the light of the Creator, to experience the greatest pleasures. And a relationship that is focused on spiritual growth and love and unity and transformation, which we're going to go through what that means, is blissful. It says it's like the Garden of Eden. You feel powerful, you feel strength, you feel like you don't need anything else. But a relationship that is based on taking, based on me holding on to my negativity and my pride and looking for alternative sources of energy, becomes like a burden that is painful and annoying. Yuval, you wanted to say something?
I'm Yuval. I grew up, I told everybody, in Israel. I understand until 18 years old, you married to your parents, the 3 years in the military or 4 years, and then you're looking for relationship.
That's the Israeli culture, you're saying?
No, I born in the 60s. And when I was 16, I understand that I have another brother and sister, and it's come out that swinging, you know, in the 60s went very well. My problem...
Wait, I didn't understand that. They were swinging?
You don't need to understand. You are married. Keep your marriage.
Okay, all right.
But when I finished the military, the only thing that I knew, I need to find a partner. I'm gay, yeah? And I found him. And 8 years, amazing 8 years. We came here, didn't work. He went back. The last 5 years, I'm single. In February, it will be 5 years. I'm still married to him.
He won't divorce you?
Nothing. And I signed the paper and everything is okay. And he complained that I let him go. Why?
So he won't let you go?
But the main thing that I found out after he left, that all my partner was Geminis. Sorry, Geminis. Between the 25th to the 28th of May.
Okay. All right. So you want to know what's going on here?
Yeah, I don't...
You don't know what's going on?
I don't know who to blame.
All right. So I'll tell you, about 5 years ago, I had this class, Kabbalah 1, 2, 3, in New York. And there was a woman who was very loud. She was always loud. Like, everything I said, she challenged me. She was upset all the time. And she says, you know why I don't believe this, I don't believe that? She's like, because I was in an abusive marriage to a very powerful politician man. She would say, some of you know who he is, whatever. She said, and I finally got the strength to leave him, and he won't release me. He won't give me the divorce. He's torturing me. He won't give me the divorce. For years, I don't know what it was, 3, 4, 5 years, torture. And you're telling me about the light and whatever, this and that, and I'm still facing this torture. And I'm telling you, every class, she got up and she says, well, why do I not have my divorce? That's what she would say. Every class she would say it. She wanted a spiritual divorce, the this, the that. So we said to her, I said, listen, by the end of your journey here, which is going to be 6, 7, 8 months, whatever. It can happen at any moment. But if you find a way to forget about him doing it to you, but you take full responsibility and work on yourself, reveal light, not just the light that you need to reveal because of him, but any light you can find, you have to reveal it. You have to change your movie. You have to change your destiny. The Creator sent you, your husband, to awaken this anger, this frustration, this bitterness you have. Because we all see this bitterness. You share it with us every day. So obviously, no, I'm not saying you. I'm saying her. She was bitter. Now, she didn't think she was bitter. She said, I'm not bitter. But we all saw it. So at some point, her tone changed. And it was midway between Kabbalah 3, she got up and she started to like just cry. And then she told the whole story and the whole room was like emotional. She said like that day he had, when she finally like let go, she did many things, but the final thing she did was let go. She said, you know what? I'm going to be happy even if I never get it. Like she made a decision to be the light. That week he signed the papers and it was over. So something that took like 5 years, she did in a couple months of accelerating her process, and she didn't even know what to do. And she would always say, well, I don't know what to do. I'm doing everything. And I'm doing everything. There's always a little bit more. It's always, you got to find it. You got to beg for it. You got to look for it. You got to talk to the Creator and say, well, you obviously have something else I need to learn. Show it to me. And that's how you change your destiny. You have to change yourself. You have to change yourself. And it's interesting that you say that because it's the exact same scenario I experienced with her. All right, well, look. I know you're okay. Whatever it is, I don't know what your thing is. You have to find it. You have to find it. The proof will be in the result. When you get the result, it means you've changed the thing. But it's not going to be easy. You have to find it. But here's the thing. You would never have looked for it if it wasn't for him. Relationships force us to look inside of ourselves at some point. First, we kick, scream, we fight, we try to run away from it. And then we realize, Then we realize you got to break the ego, whatever that means for each one of us. What? No. I don't want you to do it. I don't want you to do it. I don't want you to justify it. I understand, but this is not the time to go into your tikkun. You know where you need to go. You've done it before in this class. You know. Okay. All right, let's continue. You have a question? All right, let's get the mic over.
Thanks. Hi, I'm Jenny, and my last relationship was amazing. And
how long was it?
It was for a couple of years.
When did it end?
I stopped talking to him like 6 months ago.
Okay.
But so I'm a Jew and he's Muslim. And that provided a very interesting context, but he was my total soulmate. Eventually, it blew up because his parents hated Jews and I don't really know how to get around that. And he couldn't stand up to his family. So, it's painful. So if every, like, I don't know why he was placed in my life or I had to fall in love with him or it could have been. But so what's my tikkun that if that's a religious thing, then where
it's
that's
not about it. It's not a religious thing. It's more about what did he awaken in you? What did he awaken in you that you saw that you could take responsibility for? Or maybe you'll even tell me, well, tell me this, what good came out of it?
What's
one good thing that came out of
it? There was love and trust.
And what did that do for you?
Some amazing stuff, and there was security, and it was so wildly different than most of my relationships that...
It showed you what's possible.
Yes, it represented hope, and it almost feels like such a waste of time because it's so hard to actually meet someone that you are good with, that brings out the best in you, that you're really, really great with. Just what you were saying about how, like, you know, men, the worst thing they could do is be critical. I love my, like, you know, my tribe, my Jewish, like, men, but realistically dating them has been, they are more sensitive than I've ever been, and it's like this push and pull, and it was so nice being with a man, just an actual, I'm sorry.
It's all good, it's all good. Everything goes here. None of the men here are taking it personally.
Dick, sorry. You get a little
none
bit
of the men are taking it personally. Don't worry.
But I do. But again, I have a super conflict because I.
So, Jenny, let me tell you what's going on.
Please.
This is not a concept. This is not a concept we've learned yet. But in order, if the goal is to receive maximum pleasure in life, yes, the only way a person can receive maximum pleasure is that they have maximum desire for something. The only way you can have maximum desire for something is if you taste it and then you don't have it anymore. For example, if I told you I have this purple drink here, you're going to love this purple drink. You've never had it before. You're going to take my word for it. You'll try it. And then you say, wow, oh my God, this is delicious. And then I take that drink away from you and I say, you can't have it anymore. All you're going to think about is the purple drink. And then when I bring you back that purple drink tomorrow, how much more will you enjoy it tomorrow than the first time I brought it to you and you didn't know what it was? You understand?
Yes.
Another rule, a concept we haven't learned in Kabbalah yet, it's called the four phases. Every person, to eventually receive something forever, must receive it and taste it once and then lose it. So it's nice to know that, right? Now, does that mean we have to suffer and get it and lose it? No. There are merciful ways to taste something. There's ways to taste it and not actually lose it, meaning, you know, you can go through it's a spiritual process more than an actual physical loss. When we study Kabbalah and we become more spiritual beings, we can experience the four phases without having to go through too much suffering, right? So that's what you're going through.
So it's a good thing.
Oh, it's an amazing thing. Because it's opening you up now, as long as you allow it to huge pleasures, and you're going to really enjoy your next one. What Satan might make you do is to shut you down, close your heart, and make you feel like it's not worth it to be in a relationship. That's going to be Satan's game, mm-hmm. and you have to just beat it. You have to fight that. Mm-hmm. Great example.
Thank you.
Great story. All right, guys. Thank you. Very nice. All the Jewish men started clapping just to show you that they're still shining their light. You heard that? That's a message. Okay. Well, we have to continue. I'm going to take some questions right at the end. A relationship will always show you your relationship with the Creator. If you ever want to know what the Creator thinks of you, just find out what your partner thinks of you. It's a good one. If you ever want to know what the Creator thinks of you, it's always what your partner thinks of you. One second. Let's hold on to your questions. A relationship will be the first avenue of communication that the Creator has for you. Before any catastrophe, before any loss, before any business failure, before any health issues come up, before any real chaos comes up, a person always receives a message from the universe to change something about themselves. It comes in a subtle hint, and it always has to do with breaking the ego in some way. So if I go home and my wife starts to scream at me, not that she would, but let's say she does, and it's the most illogical thing, and I'm like, where is this coming from? What's going on? I can't view it as my wife's being irrational. I must view it as, wow, I must have done something 5 days ago, 5 years ago, 50 years ago, five lifetimes ago, and I need to change something now, because if I don't, I have to pay the cause and effect consequence, let's say tomorrow at 10 a.m. But the Creator instead said, I don't want David to suffer. So I'm going to send the one he has chosen to be my mouthpiece, which is his wife. I'm going to send her to give a message. And the message she will give has nothing to do with maybe what I did with her the last week. That's what's confusing for most men. It has to do with something you did 10 years ago. So she says, you know what? I realize you're so insensitive. You're like, so insensitive. All week I've been so sensitive. What do you want from me? But what is she saying? She's saying 5 years ago, you were very insensitive to your last girlfriend. That's what she's getting. And you put darkness in the world that now you're going to have to pay for that tomorrow at 10 a.m. Because cause and effect, right? Everybody wants cause and everybody believes in cause and effect, right? We all like cause and effect when we do something good. Yeah, where's my reward? Something bad? Whoa, why me? Cause and effect. So the relationship will always communicate to you, often irrationally, something that you need to work on. Okay? If the purpose of your relationship isn't to grow yourself, to be with the light of the Creator, it will always be hard and confusing to you. And this is why a lot of people don't speak highly about relationships. People like more casual stuff these days. Because they haven't accepted that life is about growth. And they have so many options these days, so they're not fighting for it. Yeah, Leo.
Not all relationships fail. I mean, you have some successful ones, but they're not looking to be their best version of themselves or to connect to the light. So how does that work?
It's the definition of failure and success is very ambiguous, okay? Because we know just two people staying married doesn't mean successful. By our definition of success means that they're constantly experiencing higher levels of respect, love, excitement, closeness, appreciation. I've seen a lot of people I know are in partnerships. It's a partnership. An agreement. It's an agreement. It stagnates, and then it's a comfortable agreement, you know? We got kids, we got finances, we got whatever. So I'm talking about a constant, you're so excited to see the person every time you come home. Like, it's exciting. It's like you have appreciation every time. It's not easy. To feel that pleasure, you have to be doing spiritual work. All right? And then we talked about that. Once you commit to a partner, the clock starts, the Creator, the light, everything starts to motivate you towards your highest self. So you got to be ready for that. Yes. Can I define commitment? Commitment isn't necessarily marriage. Commitment is that internal decision inside you that you're going to be with this person and you're going to love this person or give to this person and you're going to receive from this person. If you make a commitment and you say, I'm going to receive from this person, you better be willing to give the light, to reveal the light. Otherwise, don't take it. Don't receive. As soon as you have intercourse with someone, we talked about the intercourse thing. Intercourse is a contract. It's a contract between two souls. You are bound to their soul for a certain period of time after you have intercourse with them. You share tikkuns from that moment on. If they're depressed one day, you're going to feel it, even if you haven't seen them for 3 years.
So the venue that created that... The intercourse you're talking about, is that something that the Creator gave you the opportunity to do, or this is something you decided to do on your own without, you know, any control?
Everything is free will. You have the choice.
Yeah, well, you run into people sometimes?
Do you have a business? Do you have a business?
Yeah, well, you run into people sometimes that just like boggles your mind. Who are those people I ran into today?
I should have sex with them.
No.
That's what you say. I just ran into these people. Who are these people? You should have intercourse.
No, then later on it happens when you say to yourself, who are these people I met?
Do you have a business?
What kind of business?
I don't know. Do you have a business? Do you own a business?
Yeah, of course, yeah.
So at what point will you give somebody a percentage of your business?
I'm sorry, what was the question again?
At what point would you be okay giving somebody a big percentage of your business?
Probably a point when I know where there's cooperation and we are going to be partners and we're going to benefit together from...
Will you ever give somebody a piece of your business that you expect never to see again?
If I'm donating, it's a different story.
Would you ever give a person 50% of your business if you plan never to see them the next day?
Sometimes I've done that before.
Do you understand, guys?
Yeah, but
none of us will give half of our business away if we don't think we're going to be with them for a long period of time and there's going to be circuitry. Intercourse is like giving a piece of stock in your soul. Just make sure that you're okay with having them be your business partner. Just because it's out of sight, out of mind, it doesn't mean it's out of soul. They're still part of your soul. You carry them for a long time. For how long? That's a good question. Let's go to the next slide. Making love last. Always be giving. We talked about it. Minimize relationships. You got to give energy constantly. If you give energy, it gives you energy. You see miracles. If you make your husband or wife happy, if you earn their love every day, earn their love. What did you do every day to earn their love? You got to put energy back into the well. Every day, the relationship will create miracles for you. We'll give you wisdom. We'll give you security. We'll give you inspiration. We'll give you amazing children. We'll give you wealth. We'll give you prosperity. It will support you. It's your nuclear core. But if you criticize, constantly make comments, be annoying, complain, you draw energy from the well. If you draw energy from the well goes dry, the relationship goes dry. Here's a big one. Overcome passive evil eye. How many of us have ever been in a relationship and we constantly judged them in our mind and we said things like, they're never going to change, they're so this, they're so that? Raise your hand. That's called passive evil eye. Whenever you don't see the good in someone, you see their bad, you strengthen their bad. And that's a hard one, right? You have to be able to see their bad, but then focus on their good. When you focus on someone's good, you awaken their good. And I see this a lot in relationships where two people don't work, and as soon as this person A leaves, person B finds somebody else, and all of a sudden person B becomes the most amazing person. When they were in the first relationship, they were like the most horrible person. It's because in that first relationship, person A was always seeing the bad in person B, thereby limiting their power and their potential. If you have students, if you have colleagues, if you have employees, any scenario, this is in any relationship, when you see their good all the time, you talk about their good, you focus on their good, you awaken their good, and your soul connects to their good. When you see someone's negativity all the time, you awaken their negativity, and then your soul connects to it, and that's why you feel drained. And your passive evil eye becomes a limitation on their growth. So if we ever have given passive evil eye, and we all have in our past relationships, we might have to fix that energetically to fix our own tikkun moving forward. We have to take responsibility for that. We might have to call them and ask them for forgiveness. Because when somebody forgives you, they release you of the negativity. Now, they may have done horrible things to you. That's besides the point. That doesn't excuse if I did something negative to them. I still have to cleanse that from my soul. Work on yourself in order to earn a new movie. So that's like Yuval's example. Keep working on yourself. Keep finding new egos, new things. If I ever have trouble in my relationship, I'm going to lock myself in a room and I'm going to talk to the Creator. I'm going to pray, beg, plead, and then plead to the Creator for help. I personally have never experienced a time that I have not been answered if I beg and pray from the bottom of my heart with regards to something about changing myself, about something to help the relationship grow. A soulmate is not a person. You could have one week where the soul of your soulmate leaves the person because you haven't earned it. And then all of a sudden you change something about yourself and the soul of your soulmate comes back to the person. Don't get caught up in who's my soulmate. The soulmate is a soul that comes down when you are tapped into the light. And it can be, right now you could be married to someone and tomorrow you could be with your soulmate because you brought the soul down into that person you're married to. And if you're not a good person and you're reactive, the soul leaves. So what are you left with? You're left with the body mate, with the tikkun mate. The soulmate comes as you do spiritual work. The Zohar says, each person merits his soulmate according to his spiritual work, according to his ability to restrict reactive behavior. That is what makes you a strong human being. To shine when you're being humiliated, to shine when you feel depressed, to shine when you come home and you're exhausted and you don't want to give. ABG. ABG. But I don't want to give. I'm tapped out. Who tapped out? What would happen if the sun was tapped out? The whole world would be destroyed. We can't afford to be tapped out. Before we walk into our home or before we go on a date, pray to the Creator, please. ABG, help me be a giver in the date. It's shocking. Sometimes you see people when they're talking and the person is just taking energy, talking about himself, ignoring what he or she wants. It's like they're not thinking to give, looking for ways to try to sleep with the person, angles, agendas, manipulations. It's all taking. How can you be the light if you're taking? How can you have blessings if you're taking? There's no affinity. And Satan will make it look like it works. That's his trick. He will always make something negative look like it works to get you addicted to it. Because if it never worked, we'd all abandon Satan and we'd run towards the light. The people will be breaking down the doors of the Kabbalah Center saying, I want the light. I realize taking doesn't work. But Satan makes people feel that taking works. Satan will make you feel like you're in a horrible marriage. You just met an amazing woman. You know she's your soulmate, and she might be your soulmate, but there's a process. There's a process. You can't just say, I can't help myself. I'm going to date and be with this person while I'm married and while I'm just going to take everything at the same time. That's not being strong. Being strong is, wow, I feel attraction. I feel this is what I want. Pause, restrict. Let's resolve this first. But what if I lose? What if I lose my mistress? Can you imagine? This is what Satan tells us. So all of a sudden, we don't have certainty in the light, certainty that what's mine is mine, certainty it's all about spiritual work. What is it about now? I just want pleasure. I just want to feel good. I've seen amazing stories where a man is married, and a woman, both ways, and he's not happy. And he meets someone that makes him very happy. I've seen spiritual men and women say, you know what? Even though I'm very tempted, I'm not going to go for that. I'm going to resolve this. 6 months, a year later, wraps this up, goes to pursue that. I've seen in situations where that relationship becomes amazing. I've seen situations where the person, the man, reactively runs after the mistress, tries to have his cake and eat it too, and does both. This is against the spiritual laws of the universe, not because it's bad to have an affair, even though that is true. It's because he's a taker, not a giver. And what happens is they have a couple really great years, and then I can't even tell you the horror stories I've seen. Because the light of the Creator is not blessing that union. There's no light. You chose not to have the light. You chose to be a taker. So giving, being the giver, is just so powerful, especially when you're not in the mood. That's how you know you're doing your tikkun. That's how you know. Just see if there's any more. We have so many more slides, but we're going to have to do it for the next class. Before we end, I want you just to share what you learned that was powerful for you that you're taking away for tonight. It is kind of late, but I will take one or two more questions if you would like, because this is an important class, and then we'll go from there. So just share real quick what was powerful for you that you've learned tonight. All right, everyone. I'll take a couple questions, but just so you know, next week, we're going to have a whole Q&A session. So bring all your questions. We'll work. We can do workshops. You can give me scenarios. It can be focused on relationships. It can be focused on any Kabbalistic concept. Next week's going to be really a time that all of us are going to be together and just get more personal. But if there's any questions you want to ask right now, in the back, yeah.
Hi, my name's Alara, and the female energy is to receive, so always be giving. I don't understand how it fits in there.
Okay, good question. So the female energy is the one that's receiving and manifesting, right? How does that how does she also needs to be giving. So her way of giving is by being the powerful receiver. Okay, and I'll give you an example. Saying to the male energy, wow, thank you so much. You don't know how happy you make me by all these amazing things you do. Now, she's giving by being a powerful receiver, by being a secure receiver. Does that make sense? So it's a little more tricky. The female also needs to always be giving, but the way she does so is by empowering the channel of energy to give to her. Empower. Don't complain. Don't nag. Don't criticize. But empower. Empower. Empowerment is a huge, huge concept that especially in our time today, everybody needs more empowerment. People don't tolerate criticism as much these days, right? And there's a time for communication, sharing what you like, what you don't like, what hurt you, what upsets you, for sure. But we all know when we're criticizing from that negative place, because we just want to change the person. That is that tears things apart. That tears relationships apart. Yes.
I was wondering, when you said that your partner, when they see the negative in you, that's what God or, you know, the Creator sees in you. I thought the Creator always saw the best in you and just loves you no matter what.
Yeah, of course. It's not that the Creator sees the good, sees the bad. We're using these terms just to, you know, make it more relatable. But the light wants to be part of you. So the way the light tries to go in is by pushing the darkness out. When do you see, have you ever seen those big mirrors that show the face? You know, I always go into a hotel, I see these big mirrors. My wife has this big mirror. When you look at it and all of a sudden all you see is your nose. You know what I'm talking about? The magnifier, right? It's got this big light and all you see is like everything's magnified. So if the room was dark, are you going to see any of the blemishes on your face? No, but as soon as you shine the light and you magnify, you see what's wrong. You see what needs to be cleaned. So what happens is when the light shines and is trying to enter a person's life, that shining reveals all the darkness. So when the light's trying to come into your life, it's shining through your partner, but it's also revealing what's wrong. That's really what's happening. It's not that the light sees what's wrong. It's that when the sun shines through the window, you see the dust particles. While before, when it was dark, you didn't see all the dust in the air, but it was always there. Does that make sense? All right, great. Yes?
I feel like everyone at the table wants to know the answer to this question.
Say it again.
I think everyone at my table wants to know the answer to this question, and it's, I know that the soul, they have different arrangements, and then they come and go. But when is the time that you know it's time to leave and when it's time to stay and work on the relationship? How do you know that?
Great question. Good question, right? I think first, it's very important to ask that question, to ask the Creator from a place of no agenda. Because we often stay or we often go because of our own emotional desires. And that's limited. Oftentimes we stay when we leave when we can't stand it anymore. And we stay because we're afraid to leave. So both those situations are coming from a reactive place. We need to say, you know what, I'm afraid to leave, but I'm going to put that aside and I'm going to ask the Creator, help me see what I need to do. Show me. If I'm not clear yet, I won't make a decision. That's always the rule. If you're not 100% clear, don't make a decision. But until you become clear, you need to beg and you need to ask for clarity. That's number one. Number two, unless it's an abusive relationship and different, very bad relationships, we need to first learn the lesson of why we're in it. And we need to make the effort to learn that lesson. We need to ask, we need to communicate. And we all know when we've made an effort, or when we're avoiding the effort. You have to feel like you did everything in your power to make it work, and you have to feel like you did everything in your power to learn your spiritual lesson. Once you have, then it just feels like it's not necessary for me to be in it. I'm not escaping. I'm not copping out. It just feels like there's nothing else for us to do. And that's kind of when you separate. Unless it's abusive and something else, that's a whole other story. Right? And most times, I always try to encourage people to stay and work it out. We try it from every angle. And if you see, sometimes they're not meant to be together anymore. They've already learned all they can learn. Then you help them on their separate paths. Great question. Great question. Any other questions? Yeah, Aaron.
If you want to address this in the next week Q&A, that's fine too. But we had a question pop up at our table where in previous classes, we talked about the concept of multiple possible destinies. So as you're working on yourself, you kind of go up the spiritual ladder. So like the soulmate of your soul today versus the soulmate of your soul after studying like Kabbalah for 5 years might be different.
Yeah.
So if we know that on the one hand, as individuals, we need to do our spiritual work to try and reveal the highest potential for ourselves. But today we talked about we must really be also in a relationship to achieve the highest level. Like when do we know? How do you know you've done the maximum work as an individual and it's time to shift into the destiny of the relationship or like feeling?
Great question. How do you know you're ready for a relationship, really? How do you know you've done all there is as a single person? I asked this question when I was 20 years old to my teacher. And he said, I mean, this is his answer. I don't know. I'm not saying it's 100%. But he said to me, I asked him, when do I get married? He said, when it's the last thing left. That's what he told me. I asked him, when should I get married? He said, when it's the last thing left. And actually, when I got to that place that I felt there wasn't anything else I could do as a single man to work on myself and I was comfortable, that's when I met my wife. And I was comfortable. And then when I felt like, okay, the marriage got comfortable, that's when we had our child. It was like every time you felt like, okay, you worked, got it comfortable, then the next phase comes. So again, that's one answer. But sometimes we meet people to kind of push us along. If you're really doing everything every day and it's your number one priority to be the best version of yourself, everything will happen in a perfect time. If we're avoiding spirituality, then the creator will send agents to facilitate the process. So we might have breakups, heartaches, things will happen to push us. But if you wake up every morning and your number one goal is spiritual work, to be with the creator, and that's hard to get to that, but if you do that, you'll have a very, very organized life. Spiritually, you'll avoid a lot of unnecessary chaos. That's my best advice about that. Follow the path of spirituality is the most clear, consistent path. Still might be painful, but it will be clear what's going on and how it's happening. And the path will be without a lot of the trappings that most people go through. All right, guys, that's it for tonight. Thank you very much. Thank you.